recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Children are going to get it on. I want to thank LifeLock, promo code AdamTrueCar.com. Butcher Box. Tell you about them in a minute. How you doing, Drew?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. So you and I have not yet discussed this Liam Neeson situation.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it. I heard bits and pieces.
His premiere was canceled. He was on a junket, and the movie's called Revenge or something. And the interviewer goes, "Well, how do you tap into that revenge, that kind of, you know, intensity?" And he told this story about a friend of his 40 years ago getting raped, and that he went out for five nights after that into African American communities looking for someone to fight with. And with the intent to kill that person if they came on to him. And he said after a period of time, he kind of came to him and went, "Jesus, what's the matter with me?" and, quote, got help. And that created quite a stir.
Well, I'd like to hear, is it on tape?
It is on tape. It's a pretty easy thing. When he reiterated, what he did was Robin Roberts interviewed him on Good Morning America the next day. And got some interesting stuff out of him.
Cold Pursuit is the name of the movie. About a father trying to get revenge for the death of his son.
Yeah.
So he had a friend of his get raped.
Yeah. And so by a black guy.
Right.
And so he went out into this just randomly into a black community looking for somebody to attack him so he could kill them. And he said, if we find this video, you'll see. He said, "I don't care if it was a red-haired Irish guy. I would have gone to an Irish community, done the same thing. If it was a Lithuanian, I would have done the same thing. I was just crazed with anger over this event and was – this is what I would criticize him for. He at no point went, "I was stereotyping, I was bigoted, I was categorizing people, it's racist, and I woke up and thought, I can't believe I'm that way. It was a blind spot, and I spent every day since paying attention." He doesn't say anything like that. He just says, like, "I'd go after anybody that looked like anybody who had done this rape, and I would have killed him."
And it is weird. I mean, I do think about this. Like, sometimes there'll be that person and they're like, they come into your home and they go, "Oh, you got to put the dog away." And then you go, "Why do I have to put the dog away?" And then they go, "That person got bit by a dog when they were four and then they don't like being about dogs." And I was like, "Well, what if you did that with black people or any other group?" Like, well, I mean, my point is
let me go further.
I'm saying get over it to the person.
It's better than that. Now we go to safe spaces and can't be offended.
Right.
And what do we do psychiatrically if somebody has, like, a phobia?
Expose them to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Hair of the dog.
That's right.
All right. So here's Liam.
Which I used to leave some bourbon.
Thank you.
Just thought
on here she is.
I'm going to order it now.
Here's Liam with the Robin Roberts on Good Morning America.
Liam Neeson, who has a new movie out. It's called Cold Pursuit. And just 24 hours ago, he made headlines for talking about an incident that happened decades earlier involving a very close friend of his who he says was assaulted. And Liam, first of all, I really appreciate your willingness to have this discussion,
sure.
Because when it comes to race, it can be very uncomfortable for people. And it just caught people off guard how you responded when you were asked about revenge. And you want to explain what you said?
Yeah, we were doing a press junket, and it was, you know, the topic of our film is revenge. And it's a dark comedy, too, but its base is revenge. And the lady journalist was asking me, "How do you tap into that?" And I remembered an incident nearly 40 years ago where a very dear friend of mine was brutally raped. And I was out of the country, and when I came back, she told me about this. And she handled the situation herself and her rapist incredibly bravely, I have to say that. But I had never felt this feeling before, which was a primal urge to lash out. I asked her, "Did you know the person?" It was a man. No. His race? She said he was a black man. I thought, okay. And after that, there were some nights I went out deliberately into black areas in this city looking to be set upon so that I could unleash physical violence. And I did it for, I'd say, maybe 4 or 5 times until I caught myself on. And it really shocked me, this primal urge I had. It shocked me and it hurt me. I did seek help. I went to a priest. I heard my confession. I was reared a Catholic. I had 2 very, very good friends that I talked to. And believe it or not, power walking.
Power walking.
Yeah, 2 hours every day.
You got to walk and listen
to
classes.
Get rid of this. And I'm not racist. This was nearly 40 years ago, but because I was brought up in, maybe I'm rabbiting on, Rob, so forgive me. No. I was brought up in the north of Ireland and brought up in the Troubles, the 60s, 70s, and early 80s.
And can you explain to people what that is?
There was a war going on in the north of Ireland. And
all right, we get it, right?
Yeah.
I had acquaintances.
And he went on to say, we know what mattered, whether it was Catholic or Lithuanians or whatever, he would have felt the same way, done the same thing.
Yeah.
And
he at no point said,
you know, what? Never commented on his own stereotyping, bigotry, and racism. And I think that's where he got caught. Now, I played this on my radio program today, and almost everyone came to his defense. And I spoke to several dozen African Americans, and they all went, no, he's not a racist. This isn't racist. This is not. This is stereotyping. It's bigotry and whatnot, but not racist. I don't feel like he set out with a racist intent, mm-hmm. which I was confused by, because to me it felt like that was a blind spot. He didn't realize he was racist. He learned he was racist. He's got to watch himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was kind of a whole – it's been a strange – thing. I'll tell you what bothered me more than anything.
Is he allowed to work now or what happened?
Well, that's the point, is the company now pulls the premiere and stuff. That's the part I think
is
wrong.
Oh, they pulled
the premiere of the show, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's the stuff that's got to stop. The businesses have to stop preventing people from going about their business, because it's their first move needs to be, okay, we're going to look into this. First move, not firing. First move, no firing, no change of plans. While we look into this,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you're just—it's a mob that's just doing anything to anybody.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, movie premieres are different than getting fired from your teaching job, but the notion that whether you're a teacher, Liam Neeson, or you work for Google or whatever it is, which is like, well, we're going to fire you, and then we'll sort this thing out.
Yeah,
it's sort of like saying, well, we're going to put you in prison, and then we're going to sort this thing out.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, well, that's not really how we're set up.
We're not supposed to be. That's how we're some countries are set up. We specifically went out of our way to not be set up that way.
Right. Also, I don't even – I mean, it's I'm very interested in societal momentum as it pertains to topics, you know, and I'm interested in – you know, I've always said, like, sort of killer bees coming in from Africa and going through Texas and coming to Adam's dad's house, you know, and it's like we get on to stuff, you know, and who knew in 2019 we'd be on to race. You go back to 1995, it wasn't that much race talk, you know. There was always your Jesse Jacksons out there and stuff, and that was about it. Like, there wasn't a nonstop dialogue about race. And we just assumed that after we'd had the first black president, the first black president was actually used as a sort of like when they say, we can put a man on the moon, but we can't make a toaster that can do, you know, doesn't burn the toast. Like, it was like, one day we'll have a black president. And that was the mile marker. What's that?
That was the man on the moon.
That was, yeah. Now we're done with racism. Yeah. We had a black president. We're done with how could you have a black president? If our society was, you know, predominantly racist, you couldn't have a black president. So two-term black presidents, now we're done, like, with racism. But we're not. And the reason we're not done is there's two yin and a yang, the white and the black, of racism. Sure. Thank you. It's powerful. Powerful picture. Mm-hmm. There are the people that are compelled to take to the streets with the pitchforks. Mm-hmm. And then there's sort of the other side, which almost there's sort of three. There's the news turning every 16-year-old who stands in front of a crazy guy who's – I don't even know. He says he's Indian. He looks Indian, but he's mostly – his tribe is nuts.
I sent you a video.
He may be from the Hakawi tribe.
I sent you a video that chronicles his whole deal.
He's a nut.
You'll be
– Yes. He's not –
Gary, I sent it to you too. You may want to review it.
He's not a war hero.
Some highlights.
The point is this, that the news is telling a story. All right. So – they're the group that want to take out with the pitchforks. Then there's the news who want to get the guys with the pitchforks riled up and hit the street. And then there's the other side, which is a weird kind of a, my tooth hurts, so I'll flick it a little bit. Like, everyone's talking about race. I'm going to apologize for something I did. I'm going to sort of insert myself into this dialogue, you know? Now, they're the ones that are digging up old yearbook pictures and stuff like that. But there's also a kind of a weird thing, which is, think about all the women who are coming out and saying they were raped. If you talk about a subject long enough and there's just enough conversation out there, people would just start coming, going, well, when I was in college, I was, you know, it's like, it can't be statistically that everybody was raped. How's this working? It's like a zeitgeist thing. Like, I believe Liam Neeson is like so much race talk that he feels compelled to enter the race Thunderdome with the story. And again, some of it's like a weird, like, my tooth hurts. I'm going to flick it with my tongue all day. Like, mm-hmm. It hurts a little every time I do it. I'm just going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say something stupid, or I'm going to kind of put this in there. But it's because it's the overall, this is what we're talking about. This is all we talk about. I, by the way, don't buy any of it. I believe everybody has – I believe that everybody does – as human beings, we're just hardwired to profile involving our personal safety. It's all we do. Or threats. Something, you know, could be a ticket, a punch in the face, or something, a fine, or it's something negative to us. Something negative to us. Right? Mm-hmm. It's all we do. I know because when I drive, I see like a gardener's truck with like three bald tires on it, a bunch of pallets hanging out the back, and like Mike August will just be driving next to him. I'll go, get out of there.
Yeah.
Get out. That guy's going to blow out a retread and the guy's going to swerve into us. Like, just go in front or drop off. Now you can go, oh, what are you judging for? Like, what are you doing? It's like, what am I doing? I'm trying not to get in an accident. That's all. That's all I think about. I'm not, oh, you're calling him bad? Huh. No, I'm not calling him bad. I'm trying to, I see a brand new Subaru with a 44-year-old lesbian lady driving it, and her hands are a 10 and 2, and she's going down, she's in the third lane, and I've decided that she's a lower percentage person to drive next to than the guy with the old beater.
Sure.
I saw a brand new car. All right, I'll let you take care of your business. Let me tell you something.
Right, before we go to
I saw like a 7 Series BMW on the highway that was new, but it was dirty, and it looked like it hadn't been kept up. So it was like some rich guy, some son of a rich guy,
yeah,
got a 7 Series, got like a $80,000, $90,000 car.
You profiling. He's stereotyping.
Been, I swear to God, he's been driving this car for a year and he hasn't put air in the tires yet.
Right,
like
right.
It was, and I was with
Mike.
Maybe he's
drunk. Maybe he's doing drugs.
I swear to God, it was 4 a.m. We're coming home from like Bakersfield, and Mike was like driving next to the guy, and I said, what's this guy in this $90,000 car doing on Sunday night at 4 a.m. coming down the grapevine? His windows are so dirty, I can't even see. He says, Mike, get out of there. Don't ride next to him. And he pulled away, and the car's like tire blew out, and the guy like swerved himself.
Oh, my God.
I asked Max Zapata if he was in that car. Ask him that story. Go ahead. Tell me that.
ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed, finished beef, free-range, organic chicken, heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. It's frozen. It's perfect. It's fresh frozen. And, man, you heat it up. It's the best. All products humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Each box comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. I'm sorry, no Alaska, Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel easily anytime. And I bet the shipping to Alaska, Hawaii is not bad. You'll still be happy. And new subscribers get 2 filet mignon free, bacon for life. Oh, my God. How did they do this? 2 free filet mignon. The filet mignons are outstanding. I can vouch for them. The bacon is it's just great bacon. It's thick cut. Free. And $20 off, so 2 free filet mignon, free bacon for life, and $20 off just by going to ButcherBox.com and entering the code ADS at checkout. That is ButcherBox.com, code ADS.
And so we never stop assessing potential threat levels of any kind, monetary, physical, and spiritual. What'd I say? What were we doing? We're coming home from Bakersfield or something?
Yeah, we had a show when we were driving back down home. I was in the back seat sleeping. and I kind of just start coming to, and I hear Adam kind of going on mic like, get away from this car. And you kind of hear, there's this car in the left, to the lane to the left of us. And Adam's telling Mike to gun it, get away from this car. And it's kind of squeaking a little bit, you know, like wheels kind of squeak. But Adam's just like, just go. And Mike, without asking, like, all right, fine. And just guns it and goes past the car. And then all of a sudden, as we're pretty far, good ways down the freeway, you just hear this bang. And we turn around, and this car is now just blew out a tire and is going towards the side of the road.
Wow.
And by the way, that was 3 a.m. on 4 beers.
Yeah.
After a show. Imagine how I am at noon.
That's why I was sleeping.
On weekdays. That's why I suffer from sleeping.
Insufferable.
All right. So I look for, I assess.
Yeah.
Most people assess.
Yeah.
So people assess, and they assess against potential harm to them. And if there's a member of the community that commits a higher percentage of violent crimes, like African-American men, then they will be assessed. Sadly, but not sadly, that's our wiring. It's not something you can tell people not to do. They will wire it that way. Now, you think it's just the color of the skin, but it's not the color of the skin. If there's a white guy and the white guy looks dicey, and then there's a black guy and the black guy doesn't look dicey, then most people walk onto the side of the street. Their intent is to avoid any kind of confrontation or any kind of monetary or physical anything. That's what our hard wiring is. And for some reason, that's called racism. Now, racism is basically hating an entire group of people in an unfounded fashion. Yes?
Well, I think it's been more expanded into bigotry and stereotyping. And we're, you know, I personally look out for blind spots where I'm surprised at myself, and I watch out for it. I try to.
Well, I think everybody has that thing. Mm-hmm. I had oral surgery the other day. I had a black dentist. When he walked in, I was surprised. But it wasn't because of my bigoted thoughts. I've been to 19 dentists. I haven't had an African-American dentist. So what I thought was, oh, that's a surprise. And then I thought, oh, good. Yeah. And then I opened my mouth and passed out, and performed oral surgery. Mm-hmm. Now, being surprised when you see an African-American guy come through the door, like here's Dr. So-and-so, that's not racist. That's just something you're seeing that's different than a pattern. What's racist is getting up and going, I don't let a black guy work on, you know, he's not going to perform surgery on me. I'm going to find an Asian guy, see if he knows what he's doing over here. That doing something, having a thought of, oh, you don't see many, or, you know, every time you get on a plane and there's a female pilot and you go, oh, that's, you don't see that every day, female pilot. That's not bigoted, racist, or, you know, xeno, homo, whatever. That isn't. That's just you and your wiring. And if you do nothing about it, then it's really, it's look, if you turn around and get off the plane, now that's something. Or you go, hey, I don't want any brother working on my mouth. Then that's something. But if you just notice something and then go back to, yeah, go ahead. Which I had zero thoughts about his ethnicity once the initial, oh, that's, and see that every day, black oral surgeon. That was my first thought. And then there were zero thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I think most people, if you said to most people,
I think
who would you like to perform your oral surgery? And you gave all the colors of the rainbow. And I think the 99% of the people would say, and I mean 99.9, give me the best. I'm not interested in what the ethnicity is.
I think where we get into trouble mm-hmm. is where the echoes of our historical past are not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Blackface controversy with that governor. That's the history of minstrel activity, minstrel performers.
Yeah.
And most people in this country, they know about slavery, but they don't know about the horror of Reconstruction. They weren't really exposed to Jim Crow. Reconstruction was – I'm going to tell you something. I was shocked at how little I knew about that history, as well as leading up to the Civil War, how horrible things were. There's a lot of history I've been studying lately that it really helped me understand where I've had blind spots. And I think if we understood rather than pretending that history didn't occur and we're through it now, good, and really taking a good hard look at it, I think it would help.
Okay. Well, I think we are. I think everyone's apologizing once they get busted.
No, it's. I think it's more like it's incumbent upon us to learn about it. That's all I'm saying. Read the like Frederick Douglass biography, some things like that.
Hey, Chase, 35, San Luis Obispo.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Hey, guy.
Hey, yeah, big fan. First time, long time.
All right.
I just wanted, unrelated. I just wanted to ask you guys, why do you think that women are so loud during sex compared to guys?
Maybe we should ask the question differently. Why are guys so quiet?
Amen, brother.
Hey, well, I've been with some chicks, but I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm bisexual.
Oh, so you would know.
And yes, I've been with guys and I've been with girls, and the girls, I've been with girls that just scream and yell and the whole neighborhood can hear it.
Yeah.
Guys.
I can hear them now. There's shit on this guy's dick. Get me out of here.
Wow.
Well.
He's what you call half mo, right?
I forgot about half mo. Yeah. Not homo. Half mo. Chase, sorry.
That's all good.
Now, don't you eventually, if you're bi, just become gay?
No.
I wish I could pull bi off. I really do.
You've longed for that for a long time.
Oh,
you have
Drew,
longed for gay. You've longed for gay.
Yeah, well, it's a stepping stone.
That's why you're longing for bi. That's what I'm saying. That's the case I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
You've longed for gay.
So really, like, if you head out this weekend, it makes no never mind to you whether you come home with a man or a woman.
I would prefer, yeah, no. Well, the thing is like, it makes sense. Like, if a guy's down to hook up, then we're going to hook up. But if a girl wanted to date me, then I would only date her.
So relationships for girls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But a casual hookup with a guy, meh, we'll see what happens.
Why no relationship with guys?
I'm just not into it. I don't know. Why not? Why? Same question back. Why wouldn't you guys have a relationship?
I'd work it the other way. I'd hook up with the chicks and then hang out with the dudes. That's my plan.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, no. with there's like, you know, apps and stuff where you can just like hook up with guys super easy.
Oh my God, I can only imagine the app meets two dudes deciding on how long they're going to wait till they blow each other. Like,
literally it's like 45 seconds.
There's no time limit, right? It's immediate, right?
Yeah, no, it's like, hey, what's up? It's like a texting app, and it's like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? Nothing. Oh, you know, you're around. Yeah. Boom, bang, bing, man.
Yeah, again, the women are sort of in charge, and they're sort of in charge of the clock and the calendar and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. With the guys, it's more just like, dude, you're having sex within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you know what the world would be without women.
Do you have to specify, though, like top, bottom, oral? Like, do you have to kind of work that one out?
Yeah, that gets handled quickly.
How do you not get diseases?
That's a good question. You got to kind of be more careful, and I personally don't do it a lot.
How do you not transmit them if you've got something?
That's a great question, Dr. Gu.
Does it ever turn out where like two guys show up and you got two chocolate bars and neither one of you is a peanut butter?
I'm sure it does.
You know what I mean? And like you got to go, whoa.
Oh, my God. What am I going to have to do?
I guess if that happened, you'd probably just like, you know, sit there together and go back on the thing and try and find yourself a peanut butter if you're a chocolate bar.
Wait a full 3 minutes to hook up with somebody else, Adam.
All right. Women.
Let's go back to the cabinet and get the peanut butter.
I don't know why. Why are women are.
Why are women that way? You know why?
Why?
Because through evolutionary history, if a female got pregnant, it A, endangered their life, mm-hmm. B, committed them not just to 9 months of difficulties, essentially the whole childbearing years, that they are they are definitely the one going to be stuck with that child. Mm-hmm. So it's from a biological standpoint, the commitment of a single sexual activity for a female is way more.
Right. Why are they louder?
Oh, louder.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. That's your time. Why they kept the gatekeeper.
I got that part. Let me tell you about TrueCar, and then you try to answer my louder question. Yeah. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in a minute? Get an offer for your car. Just go to TrueCar from your smartphone or your computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details pop up. Answer a few easy questions. Get an accurate true cash offer from a local certified dealer. Then bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together, walk around, ask questions, get answers, no surprises. Then you leave with your check or you trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to go new or you're ready to go used, or you want to trade in your car and get a check, you go with True Car. It's just a better experience, better way to sell or trade in your car. And you check it out today at True Car. That is our friends at True Car. All right, so Drew, why louder?
The answer is I've never seen any reasonable description of why that should be. You wonder if it has something to do with some sort of, again, very primitive marking strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm trying to think of in general. Trying to think of if guys, I mean, guys can definitely be loud at a football game and loud at a whatever, but there's definitely a difference between my son and my daughter in terms of them being loud in public.
Yeah.
My daughter will be, you know, she'll argue with her mom or yell something, whatever. Like, yeah. She will definitely be more vocal,
a little less
more open.
Concerned
her son's like a little more like, we're outside and there's people around.
Yeah,
and shouldn't be as vocal here. Like it's a little, maybe women are a little more in the moment.
Sure.
So to speak, like if I only think of my wife and my daughter like arguing and them being loud in the house. You know, it's like they're just in. They don't really care who's around or what's going on.
They're
like,
they got
sucked into it, and they're like on each other, and it's loud, and there's no reason it needs to be that loud. There's not a decorum per se. It might be connected to that.
Maybe.
Let's hope we never find out. That's all I got to say. Want a Kleenex?
I do.
All right. We got a question up here from
Taylor
from Utah. Taylor?
Hi.
33. What's going on?
It's not a question, actually. It is, I wanted to thank you guys.
All right.
I've been listening almost 20 years now. I was 14 when I started listening to Loveline.
Wow.
And I have, my mom has borderline personality disorder.
Ooh.
My dad is a pedophile.
Oh, my God.
I was getting absolutely set up for a pretty shitty life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I listened to Loveline a lot. A lot. And I learned so much about how, especially like the stuff that resonated with me was like how women tend to go on to like repeat the patterns that they were shown as they were grown up. Like
it's a little different.
You guys would
get to. It's a little different. It's not their patterns they were shown. It's that the trauma sets up an attraction to people and places like those that perpetrated.
100%. Like you would get a minute into a call and start asking where their dad was.
Yeah.
Well, you start sounding like who you are.
Yeah. We could sort of feel it the second we talk to him.
Absolutely. I remember you guys used to take bets, and it would sometimes make some of the guests uncomfortable.
We didn't care. So is you're leading a happy and whole life now?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was 18, I started dating a guy that was pretty much exactly like my dad. I almost married him.
Oh, my God.
He was super abusive.
Ugh.
All of that. He's now like, he like shot his roommate a few years ago. I don't even know. I almost married that guy. And, but like after we broke up, I recognized, I was like, oh my God, I'm doing the thing. I'm doing the thing that I've learned about, that I know about, that, you know, codependency was like in my lexicon. And so I took your guys' advice and I decided to just not date guys that I was attracted to. Anymore. That was advice that you would give a lot.
Yep.
And I ended up just taking 2 years of being single. Like I didn't even date anybody because I didn't even trust my own instincts, and I just got a lot of therapy.
Good.
Yeah, my therapists know exactly. They know all about you guys because they're always so stunned when I come in and like I already have a lot of insight to like my own situation, and
Excellent.
So I end up telling them about Loveline.
Oh, cool.
Anyway. So I was able to turn it around and figure it out and kind of recalibrate like the things that I was gravitating to and like why it was bad. I've been married for almost 10 years. We have a son.
Amazing.
My husband, I realized as I was thinking about what I wanted to say, like he actually is a lot like Drew.
Miracle.
Well, the real winner in this equation is your son.
For sure.
It's a good dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got a mom who's not nuts, and we can only take so much praise, Taylor, but thank you. And, you know, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to people.
You learn from the cases we looked at.
Yes, I think people kind of understand the truth when they hear it. I don't know if they can synthesize it or manufacture it, but they can certainly hear it.
It's case studies, right? And so you don't learn you learn information from somebody explaining things to you, but you change your behavior based on narratives and relatable sources.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Here's what else is interesting. LifeLock, everybody. It's tax season. Scammers are back. Never give your tax documents to the preparer until you've verified their credibility. File early and watch out for emails impersonating the IRS. There's so many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Beware of the threats. Back in the day, there's nothing you could do about it. And have LifeLock. You just steal your identity and start draining your account. Now they have LifeLock. It's important. Get that protection. LifeLock, identity theft protection, adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats, your devices, and you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That is promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and find out about the live shows like at the Peterson Museum, March 10th, doing a car show by day and a podcast by night, showing Uppity in the middle. It'll be a whole big 10-year anniversary over there. You can find out about the cruise. You can find out, check out the Podcast One app, Chassis. Always good. Two S's and a Y. Lots of good offerings there. Drew, what do you got?
Go to DrDrew.com. Everything's there. A new podcast, Dr. Drew After Dark. And the Dr. Drew podcast is all phone calls this week.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.